Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Later today, the Northern Secretary Chris Heaton-Harris will outline what happens next for power sharing at Stormont. Under current legislation, the election had to take place by the 19th of January. And it's been reported this morning that the British government is likely to extend that by a further 6 weeks. Well, for more on this now, I'm joined by Amanda Ferguson, freelance journalist based in Belfast. Good morning to you, Amanda. I see Reuters are using you as a source for this story. You've had this news just in the last couple of minutes.
Yes, that's right. Stormont sources are indicating that Chris Heaton-Harris is likely to announce a 6 week extension to calling an election with an option for another 6 week extension. So that would be an election at the start of March or perhaps the middle of April. And if it was the middle of April, then that would crash the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement as well. Now, we know that Chris Heaton-Harris is going to be on his feet in the House of Commons shortly. He's due for Northern Ireland questions and then he's due to make a statement after the Prime Minister speaks. We also know from our sources today that he's expected to make an announcement to sort out a budget for Stormont in the absence of ministers, and he's also likely to cut MLA's pay by a third.
Okay, so a few things to discuss there, but what do you think has happened here? Because Chris Heaton-Harris made a big play, didn't he, of giving this deadline for power sharing to resume, this threat that an election would be held on the 15th of December. I heard on the BBC some suggestion that perhaps he was thwarted by his seniors in Westminster.
Yes, well, we know that that was initially reported by RTE the weekend that it happened. We know that Chris Heaton-Harris had made a big fuss of this 1 minute past deadline, very dramatic October the 28th deadline, and then it took a number of days before we actually got clarity on what's happening next, and today is a further part of that. There has been the suggestion that he was overruled by the new Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. You know, Chris Heaton-Harris is the eighth Northern Secretary that we've had since 2010 under the Conservatives, and he's also the third this year. Now, he's a big player whenever it comes to Brexit and former ERG chair and so on, but he is semi-new to Northern politics and the style of politics here, but certainly there's been a lot of play and chat about his credibility and so on, which most members of the public aren't particularly focused on. They're just focused on clarity about what actually happens next.
Well,
so
hopefully... Let's talk about that, because you mentioned there a couple of really important things. So he's expected to make an announcement on a budget for Stormont, Amanda. How will that be administered? Is that up to the civil servants then to go out and spend it?
Yes, well, we know that because there are no longer caretaker ministers in place, Chris Heaton-Harris will be asked questions when he eventually appears before the media about why he didn't leave caretaker ministers in place. The civil service is headed by a woman called Jane Brady. So it's permanent secretaries of each department are tasked with how the functioning of Stormont runs in the coming time in the absence of ministers. Now, there is something in the mix as well, in that we heard Alliance leader Naomi Long say that there is still a window to make the need for an election go away altogether. So, you know, the fact that Stormont isn't up and running because of the DUP boycott over the Brexit protocol would lead you sort of logically to conclude, well, get the Brexit protocol issue sorted first and then either retrospectively sort something out to get the politicians back or have that other election. But I think because an election is in the mix, that the parties are in election mode, even whenever they're saying that they're not in election mode.
Yeah, I just see on the pay cut, and that's another aspect of this that I want to talk to you about. This decision to cut MLA's pay by one third. Now, the intention obviously there is to put pressure on the DUP to go back in. But Edwin Poots, I see my colleague Conor McCauley reporting, has already said that if the pay was cut to a penny, it wouldn't convince them to go back in, given that their opposition to the protocol remains the same.
Yes, that's right. You know, if I heard the penny comment myself, you know, the position is very clear from the DUP, and they're not going to, there's going to be no movement on that. So the prospect of an election ahead of a protocol resolution between the EU and the UK just means that the DUP will campaign on a ticket to stay out of Stormont. And then that's, you know, raises questions about what's the purpose of the election, given that an election was held in May. We know that at the Sinn Féin Ardèche at the weekend, that Mary Lou McDonald said that, you know, the rules are the rules. If by law there has to be an election, there has to be an election. She wanted to hear the Secretary of State saying that the outcome of May's election would be honoured, but that if there was an election, you know, Sinn Féin feel that they're well poised to make gain on that. And I think as well, whenever it comes to the DUP, a lot of people are saying, you know, perhaps an election could punish the DUP in some way, but that doesn't really bode particularly well, given if you look at the polling up to this point, DUP supporters are supportive of the position that they're taking. Unless an election's called and people go out and cast their votes, you can't determine exactly what's going to happen. You can't call an election before the people have their say on it. However, the likelihood is that numbers would be roughly similar to what we are now, and there would be no sort of further ahead without the resolution to the post-Brexit trade-in arrangements, which is the blockage that the DUP's, you know, only sort of focusing on one element of its 5-point plan for the election, and that was to sort of resolve the protocol issues.
But if you have 2 6-week delays, and you, as you say, we could be looking at an election in March, things might have changed significantly by the time we hit the spring.
Yeah, well, we know that we're due to have some polling from Lucid Talk this weekend. I'm not sure of the exact questions that have been asked in this new tracker poll, but that will be interesting. You know, if the DUP gets any sense from its supporters that they don't like the course of action that it's taken, then you could see movement there. But also in the mix of this as well is the issue that was raised by Michelle O'Neill at the weekend, where she mentioned again that she isn't convinced that the objection to power sharing at Stormont is solely based on the protocol issues, that Sinn Féin feels that it's the DUP. They say there's no secret that the DUP has a problem with not being the largest party anymore. Now, that again could be part of the whole election mode. However, that has been something that's been said by the SDLP leader, by people like Baron Ken Clark. So that's in the mix as well. But really, what we'll hear from this, the Secretary of State, going by the sources from Stormont, is this extension and possible further extension. So there's some clarity, but not a huge amount of clarity. And certainly the budget's something that's really important to resolve. And the MLA pay will satisfy members of the public who are looking up at Stormont and thinking, well, if I don't work, I don't get paid. So why are you getting your full salary?
Exactly. Amanda, thank you so much for bringing us that breaking news this morning. Amanda Ferguson there, freelance journalist based in Belfast. Next on the programme, we will have live music from violin sensation Vladimir Yablokov.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.